There's a thousand further women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to the Katz Report on the radio. This is John Katzalamidas. I write the Katz Report in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly print editions. I write on both of those web platforms. I also write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, which comes out on the Sunday, except when you hear when you read it on the Monday or the Saturday. Joining me this week is a frequent guest and a man about town and one of our great assets in this community, a real treasure, this man. He's the president of the Smith Center for the Performing Arts, and tonight they're debuting and premiering the first Broadway-style musical ever at Reynolds Hall. It's called Idaho, the comedy musical, near and dear to my heart. And here to talk about that and maybe some other stuff at Smith Center is Myron Martin. Myron, welcome back.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Idaho, state of mind. So you're just saying that the last dress rehearsal was today?
Last dress, I went straight from dress rehearsal here to the studio with you, and tonight is our first public performance, right. Our first preview.
First preview.
And I think people are really going to like it.
So here's my feel, and I haven't seen this all together yet, but I know some of the content. It's going to be funny.
It's absolutely funny. So you met Buddy Sheffield, the writer. Buddy's a former head writer for In Living Color, the television show.
Correct.
He's a funny, funny guy, and he wrote this, and he can't help but be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the lines, you just laugh out loud. I've seen some of these lines delivered, I don't know, hundreds of times, and today at dress rehearsal, I still laughed out loud.
Mm-hmm.
It's just funny.
Yes. Buddy was behind the Men on Film and that skit on In Living Color, among many other.
That's right.
And he wrote the musical Cleavage also, that has kind of a famous I've heard Philip Fortenberry talk about that musical. It went bust after one night, is that what he said?
Yeah.
But it got great reviews. So
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Buddy's got a long history. And let's just step through this. This started as an idea between Buddy Sheffield and Keith Thompson, who is right now music director of Jersey Boys. And Keith had been moving to Las Vegas to be in We Will Rock You. Take us from there. How did you get involved?
Well, so you have to go way far back to Buddy driving a U-Haul truck from the East Coast to the West Coast when he was moving to start his work with In Living Color. And he said back then, you know, U-Haul trucks had an AM radio, and and when with the AM, you sometimes got a signal and sometimes didn't. And it's a long trip, and especially, you know, crossing Texas. It's like you're never going to cross the state of Texas. And he went a little stir-crazy, and he was close to Oklahoma, and he started thinking about the great music from the golden age of musicals, and specifically the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical Oklahoma. And he started thinking, you know, there's so much kind of innuendo in this, and everyone was so naive. What would happen if we took down all those barriers and created today's version of a show like Oklahoma? And that started him down this path of driving the truck and writing songs as he's driving down the highway. And, you know, one song after another came out of it. And then he found, you know, what state am I going to name this after? And he said, you know, it's hard to rhyme with a state like, I don't know, Montana. But Idaho, that's a show you can have a lot of rhymes for.
Yeah, he had, right? Wyoming was another one that he was
Wyoming.
Thinking. It fit the tenor, but it didn't fit lyrically.
Yeah. So you asked him. I'm skipping around a little bit, but you asked him. Buddy, have you ever been to Idaho? And of course, you're from there.
Yes.
So you had a right to ask him that. You just wrote this huge Broadway musical about Idaho. Have you ever been there? And he said, well, you know, Mr. Rodgers and Mr. Hammerstein, as far as I can tell, never went to Oklahoma. And that was his answer.
And that was the answer for everybody who was involved, who were involved in the creative team for Oklahoma. And also you and Paul Beard from the Smith Center, your COO over there. Nobody'd really spent any time in Idaho.
So
that became a thing.
It became a thing. And I said, you know what? All right, I get it. Rodgers and Hammerstein didn't go to Oklahoma, but we're going to Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to you, we planned a little trip, and we went from one side of the state to the other and had a great time and left not only knowing that you know, Idaho the musical has a bit of a love story about Idaho. It does. It's mm-hmm. There's a really warm feeling you get about the state. And now that the team has all been there, they get it. And what we will see on stage tonight and tomorrow, and by the way, the official opening night is this Saturday.
And
we've got tickets for that. If you come Saturday night, not only do you see the show, but you stick around after, and we're having a little party. We're calling it the Idaho Down.
Right.
And it'll be great fun on Saturday night.
And that is a party when you have a hoedown with Idaho people. And my parents are coming to this. So we got to be on our best behavior.
Oh, boy.
Boise and Pocatello, respectively. We're going to take a quick break here, Eminem, and have Josh Bell of Josh Bell Hates Everything flay a couple of movies. And then we're going to be back with Myron Martin of the Smith Center talking about Idaho. So stick around. I know we will.
Mila, Las Vegas.
These girls, they've got to go. We should be practicing our speech for tonight, not babysitting the twins from The Shining.
Dude, let's just chill out, focus on Jeannie, and try not to be assholes for the rest of the weekend, okay? Can we do that?
That's Adam Devine and Zac Efron as the title characters in the raunchy comedy Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's now in theaters. Rowdy brothers Mike and Dave are told to bring dates to their sister's wedding, and they end up with a pair of degenerates, played by Anna Kendrick and Aubrey Plaza, pretending to be nice girls. What ensues is a mix of tiresome gross-out jokes and slapstick, and some surprisingly sensitive character development, especially for Anna Kendrick's Alice. That's more than can be said for Mike and Dave themselves, whose arcs are less convincing. The inconsistent character development fits with the inconsistent humor in a movie that falters as often as it shines. I give Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates 2.5 stars out of 5. Also now playing is the animated movie The Secret Life of Pets, featuring Louis C.K. as the voice of loyal dog Max.
Katie brought home a new dog from the pound.
She said he's my brother. I don't want a brother, and I don't even have a bed now. I'm sleeping on the floor like a dog.
Why would Katie do this to me?
The hyperactive story, which finds Max and his dog frenemy Duke, voiced by Eric Stone Street, lost in New York City, is good for a few laughs and is entirely kid-friendly, with plenty of cute characters and madcap set pieces. Secret Life isn't nearly as sophisticated as something from Pixar or even DreamWorks Animation, but it's a solid summertime passer as eager to please as an adorable dog wagging its tail. I give The Secret Life of Pets 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's now in theaters. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Mila, Las Vegas!
Welcome back. This is the Katz Report on the radio. This is John Katzlamitis, who is the host of the Katz Report. I write the Katz Report, and joining me this week is one of my favorite guests, the president of the Smith Center for the Performing Arts, Myron Martin. We're talking about Idaho, the comedy musical, a very ambitious effort there at the Smith Center. The officials there are producing Idaho the musical, and the hope is, Myron, the pie in the sky hope is that one day somebody from who books and invests in musicals on Broadway will pick up Idaho and send it back to Manhattan. What is what has to happen for that to happen?
Well, so first of all, we're very realistic.
Yes.
At the Smith Center, we you know, we're Tony voters. We're very involved in the Broadway community.
You're a Tony voter.
I am the most
powerful man in the state.
Oh,
for that
God,
reason.
No. but because of all of that, we know that the odds of any show making it to Broadway are slim,
mm-hmm.
and even good ones line up sometimes for years just waiting for a theater to open up. You know, mm-hmm. there are only 30. What are there? 36 Broadway theaters, period.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of things have to line up, don't they?
Yeah, the stars have to align perfectly. And so it will start with this week. The fact that we have taken a show that has only been in kind of readings up until this point,
mm-hmm.
and we transformed it into a Broadway style show, and what I call a in New York City Center, they have something called the Encores series. Encores are for musicals that have been hits on Broadway, but they're no longer running. And they reprise them on stage with an orchestra on stage and with actors in costumes, usually off book. And they kind of reenact what happened on the stage without all of the big sets
right.
and all.
Uh-huh.
Well, we were fortunate to have someone living here in Las Vegas, a friend of ours, Andy Walmsley,
yes.
the wonderful set designer who agreed to help us bring this thing to life. And early on, we were saying, well, this is going to be an encore-style show. Don't come looking for big sets. Well, Andy designed big sets, and we have them, and they look fantastic. And so people are going to get this impression of what the show really is, because I'm telling you, no one's on book, meaning no one's reading the script or looking at sheet music as they're doing this. I mean, they're in costumes, they're in character, and they're delivering great performances. So we're starting with that. We're starting with a really good show, and I encourage everyone to come. Even if you're not a Broadway musical kind of person, this one, think of Buddy writing this great epic, you know, like the Great American Musical, but it's really Blazing Saddles meets mm-hmm. Oklahoma.
Right. It's a Mel Brooks. It's Oklahoma is just through the prism of Mel Brooks, and a lot of the writing and a lot of the lyrics in the music are very punny, and they come out. I can tell by reading the script. I have one version of it. It's very some high velocity.
Yes.
Banter, right? So
yeah.
If something's didn't quite work, wait 30 seconds and something else is going to hit.
And Buddy learned that from sketch comedy writing,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
for all those years. And so we're going to give our audiences a really good show. It's really funny. It's a little bit naughty, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are some things in this show that you're not going to want to bring the little ones to, maybe. But it's really, really, really funny. And the music, you started talking about Keith Thompson earlier.
Yes.
Buddy Sheffield started writing all the music. He's been friends with Keith Thompson, a Las Vegas local who, as you said, conducts the orchestra at Jersey Boys. They started collaborating on completing these songs. And the music is good. There's some great ballads. There's some funny, hysterical songs that set up parts of the show. So I was saying, even if you're not a big fan of musicals, come and check this one out, because it's really more like comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like those great comedy TV shows, I think you will like this one.
Yeah, some sample lyrics in one of the stories I've written about the musical. It was on the cover of the Las Vegas Weekly a couple weeks ago, from the song "Screw Up Your Courage." Life can be such a ball if you just grow a pair. And from "Heck, It's a Heck of a Day," all the sheep are taken cover just in case all the gals are too quick. That's a sampling of, and having, I'll tell you, that's not uncommon humor for what I remember about being an Idahoan.
Oh,
there's a lot of that kind of frontier, Intermountain West sensibility in their humor there.
And it one of my favorites, one of the lead characters, a girl who is very nice. She wants to please everyone, and it turns out she likes to please the boys because it's just part of being nice. And anywhere else, she would be called Easy, right? And her name, Buddy's name for her is Ida Dunham.
Ida Dunham.
Ida Dunham. And she sings a song. One of my
IDA.
Favorite lines is she sings a song. She says, "When the boys say, 'Ida, won't you please us?' I hit the sack and throw my legs to Jesus."
I think Nikki Scalera from Las Vegas has sung that song in Showcase. And I think Vita Karimbi, too, early on, sang a version of that song, too. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Very funny. Let's just give the framework of the plot. This musical is set around the turn of the century, 1800 to 1900 century, about the time Oklahoma was also. And where does it go from there? What is the plot line of Idaho?
It's really about Idaho becoming a new state,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's a lot of talk about this being frontier land. There's a lot of talk, of course, about spuds and about potatoes and, you know, the big crop in Idaho.
Right.
But it's a love story, and it's multiple love stories. There are various couples that you will see throughout the plot line. And love for Idaho and the land. Buddy's funny and he pokes fun at things, but there's no doubt when you hear the whole cast sing the song about Idaho, it'll get you. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. And so you follow these couples through the show, with some funny things that happen and just so much that goes on. And here's the thing. You leave at intermission and you go out in the lobby to get a drink and you're singing the songs, you're humming the songs, and you get to the end of the show and you don't want it to be over because, you just had a good time
in
the theater.
It's a full-length musical, isn't it, with an intermission and everything?
It is. It's about an hour and then an intermission and a little less than an hour.
29 total listed songs I saw, including reprises. Is there going to be a soundtrack?
There won't be from this cast because typically people want to buy the soundtrack from quote unquote the original Broadway cast. So you asked the question, how do we get from here to Broadway? Should this go as well as we think it will? It's certainly going well so far. The next step will be some of the people coming to see the show, a number of whom are New York producers.
Right.
They may say, we want to license this or we want to be a part of the team or we want to partner with the Smith Center and bring this to Broadway. At which point, if we are so lucky and if it goes to Broadway, that's the point in time where you'd make an original cast recording.
Right.
And the songs are deserving, that's for sure.
Right. Let's talk a little bit more about the creative team, Myron, just to get a sense of the people who are behind it. We talked about Andy, who's an award-winning set designer. He'd won an Emmy for American Idol, I believe.
Yes.
And has been nominated three or four times outside of that victory. We've got Michelle Lynch, who's a choreographer, who's top-notch out of New York, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have Matt Lenz, a director.
Yeah, so here's a great story. Our director and our choreographer were both the assistant director and the assistant choreographer when we did Hairspray at the Luxor, a decade or longer ago?
Oh, six. Yeah, it was six. A decade. Wow.
10 years
really?
Ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were both our assistants. So Matt was the assistant to the great Jack O'Brien, one of the theater's all-time greatest directors.
Mm-hmm.
And in this decade, he has emerged as one of the great directors. Michelle was the assistant for, the one and only great choreographer who was not only on Hairspray, but then went on to do shows like Kinky Boots and others, Jerry Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
And she
brought
is
Peep Show to Las Vegas, too, folks. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And she's emerged as one of the wonderful choreographers. So they have Las Vegas history, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we did the show together here. And they're thrilled to be back in Las Vegas, and I just left them, and they're so excited that we were able to bring this show to Las Vegas to give it a full reading, and as I just saw a few minutes ago, it's ready. It's ready for an audience starting tonight.
You know, and this has been going on for so long. I've been talking to my friends and family who live in Idaho, and I remember when it first became apparent that this was going to go forward, I was telling my family, my brother, and my parents about Idaho. And I remember my brother meeting Keith here in Las Vegas. We ran into him at the Tropicana. I think it was at the opening of Mamma Mia. And my brother said, I want your cell number because I've got all kinds of material for you. But one conversation that we were having even at that moment and around the time of this musical being developed was how it was going to be similar or different from Book of Mormon, which is another parody of an Intermountain West thing, Mormon churches in Utah centered in Salt Lake City. And I don't know if you're running into this at this point in the production, but how is it different? How is it importantly different from Book of Mormon, which has had amazing success, but it's also really relentlessly assaulting its subject matter. Do you find that there's a little confusion in what the content of the show is?
I don't, because in the case of Idaho, the comedy musical, there's a lot of innuendo and a lot of kind of sexual tension, but there's very little language, if any, really. But it, you know, it has a bit of an adult theme. It's a little bit naughty, but it's a show that I think people will, at the end of the day, will say, "Gosh, it's so sweet and it's so nice, and I fell in love with the characters and the music was so good." That's what they're going to take away, I think, in
yeah.
this case.
I sense on our trip to Idaho, when we were crisscrossing the state, there was some consistent nervousness when we told people what was going on and tried to describe the play. And even I was pulled aside when we were at the Potato Museum, and the woman was like, "Are these guys going to make fun of us?" And I'm like, "No, they're making fun with us." Okay?
Yes, exactly.
I go, it's as fun as this museum we're in right now.
Well, hey, but we took the trip seriously. We went to the state mm-hmm. capitol.
Yeah. What was your revelation coming out? I don't know if I even have talked to you recently about that adventure. What did you? I mean, it was only a couple of days or 3 days, two nights. But was there anything that you took away that you that was unanticipated? Maybe at us being in the state for a while.
Yeah, I mean. So I went into this saying, Idaho the musical is really good, it's sweet, it's funny. But to relate to the people, I mean, all the people that we met, from hotel front desks to restaurants we went to the Potato Museum, to the mm-hmm. governor's office, everyone we met were not only nice, but they were sincere. And so I think my takeaway was about the people mm-hmm. and the cast of 18 in our musical, I think embody that warmth of and richness that we found in the people in Idaho.
You were part of the casting process.
Yes.
Talk about that, because by the time we had gone to Idaho, I don't think you'd had the cast had not been auditioned at all.
No,
right?
No, we were long before the casting call, and by the way, all the casting started in Las Vegas. I'm happy to say that some members of our cast were from Las Vegas.
Yeah, who were the Vegas people?
Well. So first of all, Christine Hudman, who people know around town, she's been around, and Alyssa Breezy is mm-hmm. a young lady who plays Belle, and also is a dancer in this little. In Oklahoma, there's a dream ballet, mm-hmm. so of course Idaho has to have a dream ballet, and Alyssa is that dancer. So both of them came from here. But
okay.
then we went to L.A., and we did a full 2 days of casting calls in L.A. and ended up in New York, where we finished all the casting and really got top-notch actors. I mean, you will see when you see them on stage and you see them perform, every single person in this cast is top-notch.
Right. And how many people auditioned for the? Did you count up how many potential cast members you had in those three? I would think that this would be a pretty popular destination for.
Yeah, everyone wanted to do it. That's for sure. And I would say between the 2, 4, 7 days of auditions, we probably saw, 300 or 400 people. And there were others that the casting agent didn't, people were interested, but the casting agent didn't bring them in for our live auditions.
How is your involvement in Idaho, or is the involvement you have at the Smith Center in Idaho, different from the Tempest, the Teller play that was out in the tent in Symphony Park? Because I know that you guys had were in a partnership with that stage play, too, musical.
That's true. That the Tempest was our first kind of produced in Las Vegas first production, and we have Teller to thank for that.
Mm-hmm.
It was his brilliance, it was his idea, it was his concept, and he brought the folks from ART mm-hmm. at Harvard University as our partners to produce that show. So the truth is, because of Teller, we kind of had the guts to kind of say, all right, we can do this.
And, to go for Idaho?
And to go for Idaho, mm-hmm. which is, I don't know if people realize it, but it took a lot of guts to say, we're going to take a show that's never been to Broadway. We're going to put it on our Broadway season.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to give our patrons, our 10,000 subscribers, the chance to see something before it goes to Broadway. That's a big, big
right.
thing.
Yeah.
And so people in Las Vegas this week get a chance to see a show first before anybody else gets to see it. It's a big thing. And
right.
and I encourage everybody to buy a ticket and come see it. It's I think you're going to be really pleased.
In the case of The Tempest, I feel like it grew, the ticket sales especially grew after the first weekend. It really caught buzz. It was like one of those things, you've got to see this.
Yeah.
The venue was interesting, the tent, the content was great. The whole thing was so different and alive. Is that going to have to be the case with Idaho, do you think?
Well, I don't want to say have to be the case, but it is part of the model. The reason why we booked this the way we did with our previews and then an opening night before our scheduled week that we normally would have for the Broadway season, mm-hmm. our series, that was all on purpose. So that, in fact, during these previews and during the opening night, we could create the buzz. And so it's all on us. Right? From this point forward, it's about the actors and the incredible orchestra that's live on stage and the experience of seeing this show. It's on us, but we think the buzz is going to be so great that by late next week, it'll be hard to get a ticket.
Right. And is there an idea that the performance of Idaho in a financially, will one way or the other lead you to want to do this again or maybe to hold off on doing it again? Is this a test drive? Well, the same way Tempest was a test drive for Idaho, is Idaho the test drive for something that we haven't even envisioned yet?
Maybe. I mean, Tempest absolutely was our first, and it gave us the ability to dream. And I thank Teller for that. And so now we're in the middle of it. Which means now is not the time to ask me if I would ever do this again.
I'll ask you on July 18th
after.
Really, as we wrap up here, Martin, I have one quick question about The Little Room,
yeah.
about Cab Jazz, and we've had Clint Left has gone over to using his residency at Cabaret Jazz as a springboard to do his Between the Lines run at the Palazzo. What's going to happen? Is there going to be an effort to replace those dates with Clint with a single headliner monthly, or how are you going to move forward with him moving on?
As you know, Cabaret Jazz is booked just about a year in advance, especially on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we had a little inventory to work with was very helpful, and it meant that we were able to put in some people that we've had on our list, and we just couldn't find dates that coincided with their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So we've started filling up those dates. In fact, I think Glenn Medis and his booking department team have finished booking all of those dates.
Well, we have a lot of really cool stuff going on Friday night. It's David Perico, Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns on Monday night. Cheyenne Jackson,
yeah.
on July 15th, coming in. Heather Michelle Potter on July 17th, Serpentine Fire, The Earth, Wind, and Fire with Tyreek Johnson on July 22nd. It's all cool. I don't care what you're seeing in Cabaret Jazz, folks. If you're in that room, you're going to see something really cool. It's one of my favorite places to hang, which is why I'm there so much. And we're going to be at the Big Room tonight and also on Saturday, and we're going to... Plug Idaho.
And please come see Idaho. But let me give you a little scoop that we've not talked about at all, and so you're the first to hear it.
Okay.
Alan Cumming is coming to Cabaret Jazz.
Oh, okay. And when's the date?
July 23rd.
Okay.
Now, and I think he's sold out. So I'm, but here's the scoop. We're finalizing the deal right now to videotape that show, the Alan Cumming's Sing Sappy Song show when he's here in Cabaret Jazz for a national PBS audience. So we're really excited.
That
about
is
that.
Really cool.
It's well, very
that, more of that would be great.
Yeah.
Anytime you do that, it'd be great. Okay, Myron Martin, Idaho, the musical. It's happening at Reynolds Hall at the Smith Center tonight through July 17th. Catch it.
Las Vegas.